sixth plague that God is bringing upon Egypt. We know that the nation that the Lord brought, the nation of Israel, when they weren't a nation, just a family, the descendants of Jacob, into the land of Egypt. It's now a few hundred years later. The people have grown in number. The Egyptians have abused the Israelites, have used them for their own purposes and enslaving them, really, that they may be builders of their structures and monuments. And the Lord, it's time for the Lord has said, it's time for my people to go. He's confronted Pharaoh on numerous occasions, and Pharaoh continues to harden his heart against God. And one of the things that you see as we're going through the study of the plagues is that the Egyptians were pantheistic in their worldview. They viewed everything to be God and God to be in everything. Sad to say, that has become a worldview that is becoming much more stronger in the day in which we live. Today, pantheism has become part of our culture, and even as we were sharing a little bit before the service, as we were during our prayer time, about the fact that evolution has become a foundation within the scientific community, and they really worship the creature rather than the creator, even as the Apostle Paul said people would do when they turn their back on God. They would go in this a spiral downward, this vortex drawing them down into deeper and deeper paganism and against God. Part of the thing that culminates is the fact that man begins to worship himself and begins to believe the lie that Satan put before Adam and Eve, that you can become God. And he views himself as God. Now, as we look at this sixth plague this evening, it's a plague that deals with pustulous boils coming all over the bodies of the Egyptians and all of their animals. Let's read verses 8 through 12. And the Lord said unto Moses and unto Aaron, take to you handfuls of ashes of the furnace, and let Moses sprinkle it toward the heaven in the sight of Pharaoh. And it shall become small dust in all the land of Egypt, and shall be a boil breaking forth with blains upon man and upon beast throughout all the land of Egypt. And they took ashes of the furnace and stood before Pharaoh, and Moses sprinkled it up toward heaven, and out, and it became a boil breaking forth with blains upon man and upon beast. And the magicians could not stand before Moses because of the boils, for the boil was upon the magicians and upon all the Egyptians. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, and he hearkened not unto them, as the Lord had spoken unto Moses. Let's just bow in prayer. Fathers, we come before you this evening, Lord, speak to us, and Lord, may your word become more and more evident to us, and may you speak of the truths that we need to hear even out of this text this evening. Help us to see that we live in a day in which men have hardened their hearts towards you. And Father, may your spirit convict men, and may your mercy and grace come to men that they would repent and turn to you and call upon your name. Speak to us tonight through your word, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. This is the second plague which came unannounced upon Pharaoh. The third plague was the same way. The other plagues, Moses came and said, this is what's going to happen if you don't let my people go. This plague, the Lord just tells Moses to go to the furnace and take ashes. Now, there's debate over what the furnace is that Moses is to go to, what that furnace dealt with. There were human sacrifices made in Egypt. as part of their religious worship. And could these have been possibly ashes from those sacrifices? Scriptures don't say. Could they have been ashes from the kilns that were used to prepare the materials that the Israelites had to make bricks from? We don't know. They don't say. Some historians say that the Egyptians didn't burn their bricks like we do today, where they're put into a kiln and hardened. And so we don't know for sure what the furnace is. But it had something to do with the impact of the Egyptian belief system. In our nation today, we don't value life the way that we once did in America. We murder over a million babies a year. We are devaluing life of the elderly, and euthanasia is being promoted more and more openly. It's been promoted subtly for a number of years, but more and more openly as financial situations are impacted within our government. And we see that just the way that we are approaching the value of human life in America is not what it once was. God does not look with pleasure upon that, just as he didn't look upon it with pleasure upon Egypt as well. They had as I mentioned earlier, a pantheistic belief system. They had many gods. They worshipped man as God. They devalued life. And that which was dear to the Lord, they held in contempt. Everything that was of great value to God, they degraded and held in contempt. God calls Moses to bring this plague upon Egypt. And it's interesting, the plague that he brings boils with blame. The term blame isn't used today, but it really means a pustulous boil. It's not, it would be a very painful boil. It would be a boil that you couldn't readily heal. And it says that they were all over the bodies, both of men and animals. And it was all over everyone's bodies except the Israelites. The Israelites did not experience this problem with their animals or themselves. God, again, separated the Israelites from the Egyptians, from those that were under judgment to those that were going to experience God's blessing and delivery. There was a difference. And we see here that the Egyptians, it came upon all of them. The magicians, it says, could not stand before Moses or Pharaoh. Why? Because they had boils all over themselves as well. Up until this time, they continually, the first two plagues that came upon Egypt, the magicians were able to simulate those plagues. But after that, they weren't able to do any of the plagues, and they couldn't. And now we see that they can't even find a way to prevent them from coming upon themselves or coming against them. And they are suffering like everyone else. Now, as you look at this, why would God do this? Well, this dust became that what came from the ashes, went over the whole land of Egypt, went over them all. And the reason is that God is coming against the Egyptians and coming against all of their gods. There were two specific gods that the Egyptians looked to that had the power to heal and give them health. One of them, the name was Sekhmet. It's S-E-K-H-M-E-T. This was a female deity. It was a goddess that had the power to heal. And you'd call upon this goddess and she would heal you. The other was Serapis, and that name is spelled S-E-R-O-P-E-S, and this was the healing god. Now, if you look at the Egyptian culture as well, they thought a lot of their bodies, and they were a culture that was extremely clean. If you've seen pictures of the Egyptian, they often shaved their heads. They bathed. Remember when Moses was found by Pharaoh's daughter, she was down in the Nile River. bathing. The Nile was viewed as a god, and it was also viewed as a sacred river. And they would go down there, and as part of their worship, we saw earlier in some of our earlier lessons, they would go down to the river to worship at the river. They would bathe in the river. And we think, well, this is something that people wouldn't do today. If you go to India today, you find the same thing. The people will go to the rivers in India. They view them as sacred. And they go down there and they bathe in these rivers. Even though the rivers are polluted, they still bathe in them and view them as sacred. And it's things that are done today where the people are worshiping the waters and worshiping the rivers. They did this in Egypt at the time of Pharaoh. And we think also people don't worship their bodies like they did in Egypt, where cleanliness, it was so important to them. Well, the answer is, yeah, they do. If you look at the infomercials in America today, and if you would see these and look at the number of them that deal with staying young, you're gonna preserve your skin and have, when you're 70 years old or 80 years old, you're going to have the skin of a 20-year-old if you just use these creams that are designed to give you eternal youth. And then you go and they've got all these vitamin supplements and other supplements that will make your body continue to be young and do all of these things that you did when you were 20. When you're 90, you can still do them if you just take these supplements and take these vitamins, take these additives to your diet, or if you eat certain things and if you have this certain diet. And the Apostle Paul addressed that this has always been something that Satan has brought in. Remember, during the time of the Apostle Paul, he said that you shouldn't allow, set aside the diets where you say you can't eat certain things, that you can only eat vegetables, you can only eat certain things, and you can't eat certain other things, because he said all things, when given thanks for from the Lord, are given to us for the purpose that God has given to us, as long as we go to the Lord in thanksgiving when we come to eat them. Well, the culture is impacted by a belief system, and when you take your eyes off of God and begin to look at the creature as God instead of the creator, it begins to impact all the things that you think. And things that normally would be good, that is to eat healthy, to be clean, that becomes part of your worship system. And so that you begin to involve that in the things that you're worshiping, and you begin to worship things like your body and desire to maintain youth, desire to maintain all these things that God says, because of sin, will impact and result in every man and woman dying. Now, if you look at what the implications of this are, is it begins to impact the way that you look at things in the world. You go out and you talk to many people today, and as Dave Hunt said in his book, Seeking and Finding God, most people spend more time researching a used car than they think about what happens when I die, what happens to my soul, what happens for eternity. And they don't think about those things because we're so desirous to keep our bodies young and that they're thinking that they'll go on forever. As Christians, we need to have a proper perspective. The Apostle Paul, as we've been studying in the book of Galatians, and as you read his letters, other letters to the church, one of the things he emphasizes that as Christians, you're to have a proper perspective. Our desire should be to gain spiritual blessings and spiritual rewards, and the things of this earth, the fleshly blessings and fleshly rewards, they're not lasting. Pharaoh in Egypt, they attempted to make and view everything that was of the world as being that which was eternal. Now, if you look at the Egyptians, what they did with the bodies when they died, they embalmed the bodies in such a manner that we find these bodies of the pharaohs in the tombs. For example, King Tut's body, went on display and he took a tour around the United States. His body did. King Tut didn't, but his body was put on display around the U.S. a few years ago. And if you looked at it, you could tell it was a man. He had been, his body had been mummified and preserved, but he was still dead. If you go to Russia today, they still have Lenin's body on display, and they've had a process where they could keep it mummified, and it's on display, and you can go and wash it, and the people, they worship Lenin, and the fact that he is the one who brought them communism. He is the one that showed that humankind is the ultimate, and they worship him, and people still march by his body. And the thing is, it's just a body. The spirit is no longer there. And no matter how much the Egyptians tried to preserve the body, the life was still gone. And as was mentioned earlier, those who were who in our culture were atheists and believed in evolution and that God didn't exist, when they die, they find out. Stephen Hawking, as someone mentioned before the service, he's dead. He knows now that God exists. And there are others that were ardent atheists and evolutionists, and when they die, they know that God exists. Another thing, you go to Egypt, and you will find that, what did they do? The pharaohs, or those that were wealthy, when they died, oftentimes they would have their servants would be killed, and they would be embalmed and placed with them. They would have their animals killed and embalmed and placed with them. They'd have their precious treasures, their gold, their silver, their jewels, placed in their tombs. Why? Because when they went to the next level, whichever that level was that they believed in, these things would be with them. Well, we know that they didn't go with them, because these tombs were raided, and some of the tombs that weren't, when they opened them up, they found all these things in there. They hadn't gone anywhere. And today, there are many people that are trying to build kingdoms on earth, thinking that somehow they can take this with them. The story is told of one man that said, I'm going to take my money with me. And so he wrote in his will that he wanted to be buried with all of his money. And his wife was thinking, what am I going to live on? Because he left nothing to me. And he also said, I wanted to be buried in my Cadillac. And so they put him in his Cadillac, and as they're lowering him in the grave, his wife took and wrote out a check for all the money he had in the bank and threw it into the Cadillac and said, he's just been buried with all his money, but she still had access to the real money here. Why? Because it was useless to him. Just like all these things in Egypt were useless. Well, the Lord is going to come against Pharaoh. He's going to show them, all of the things that you are, the cleanliness, the things that you do, the things that you worship, they are not God. I am God, and I can bring pestilence upon you. In our culture today, we devalue life. We devalue that which is sacred to God. And many things that God has told us are sacred, for example, marriage, family, relationships between a husband and a wife, sexual relationships within the marriage, that is what is sacred to the Lord. And the country spits in God's face, and what came was a sexual revolution in the 60s, and out of that bore fruit, much like the boils on Egypt of Pharaoh's rebellion, and it bore fruit. Out of that came the sexually transmitted diseases, and AIDS is one of the main ones, and there is no cure. There's a means now where they can try and prolong your life, but ultimately you'll still die, and you will die sooner than someone who doesn't have that disease. And we see that this is what happened in Egypt. So the Lord comes against Pharaoh with these boils. Well, you'd think that Pharaoh would repent. How many times has God shown his power to Pharaoh? Up until this time, Pharaoh's been hardening his heart and hardening his heart. It says now, as God told Moses, I will harden the heart of Pharaoh. Why? Because he knew what Pharaoh's heart was. Pharaoh had hardened his heart against the desires of the Lord. He hardened his heart against ever bowing his knee before the Lord and worshiping the Lord. And so the Lord is going to give Pharaoh the desire of his heart, and that is God hardens Pharaoh's heart for him. And so we see here that he hardens the heart of Pharaoh. And we don't see anything about Pharaoh saying that he's going to be letting the people of Israel go. And instead, he just hardens his heart. What's going to be happening to the Egyptians from this point on is the intensity of the judgments are going to increase and become greater and greater from as they have from the beginning. Every judgment, God is bringing greater pressure upon Egypt to repent and turn to Him, and they refuse to do it. There's lessons that need to be learned for us in our nation and in our world. A lot of people say, oh, look at what's happening to Mother Nature. All these things are happening, and it's not Mother Nature, it's the Lord. Look at all these pestilences and all these diseases that we don't know how to deal with. You have Ebola, you have AIDS, you have many diseases that are appearing that we didn't have before. And people say, well, science will discover a means by which we can avoid having these have any impact on us. The answer to this is that they're not by Mother Nature. The storms and the tremendous storms that you're having are not by Mother Nature. These diseases are not by Mother Nature. But I believe that it's God's judgment coming upon a world that has turned their back on Him, and that the means by which the Lord is seeking to extend His mercy and grace to us is that we would call upon His name in the face of His judgment. And this is what He's doing here, is showing all of Egypt that I am God. The magicians of Egypt could not stand against the Lord, but they suffered as well. Let's just close in prayer. Lord, I pray that You would help us to understand this. Help us to apply these truths to our lives in the day in which we live. Help us to be willing to share with individuals the gospel message. And Father, to show them that You're a God of grace and mercy who desires that no man perish, but that all men come to a saving knowledge of the truth. And Lord, we pray that You would help us to learn as we go through these plagues and why God brought these plagues against the gods of Egypt, to show that they were no gods at all, but mere making of men's minds as they worshipped that which the demonic had sent forth. Lord, now we pray that You'd just go with us and allow us to have a blessed rest of the week and give us opportunity to share with others the hope we have in Jesus. This we'd ask in His name for Your sake and glory. Amen. In closing,